She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And remember what Dave said, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And we're going to give you something so fun and wonderful and amazing and successful to think about today. Joining us in studio, I am very happy to welcome Kirsten Block, president and owner of Buffalo Exchange, and her daughter, Rebecca Block, vice president of Buffalo Exchange. Thanks, both of you, for being in here with me. I'm really excited, and I've got lots of questions. So thank you for doing what you do. This show is sponsored by the Fairfax Companies. I always want to do a shout out to them, to thank them for their support of Mrs. Green's mission and vision and for everything they do to the planet to keep waste from going in the landfills. Okay, one brief announcement about one of my national sponsors, Ecobella. It's June. It's almost the end of June. I can't believe that I'm saying that. And people are outside. This is the time when people go outside and they hike and they camp. Hopefully they go outside and do beach time. And here is my caution to all of you. Please make sure that you protect your skin and your family's skin from the sun when you're spending time outside. Read the ingredients in your products to make sure that you're not doing more harm than good because of the harsh hidden chemicals in many of them. One of the things I love about doing this shout out is I have a great partnership with Ecobella. They take all of the worry about purchasing skincare away. And I know that their products are safe. I know they're ethically sourced. I know they're not using pets for any of the research. And that really matters to me. It's one of my favorites. So please check them out at their website, www.ecobella2c's.com. And as I have said on the show many times, if you're a regular listener, it's so important for all of us to support companies like Ecobella for our own health and the health of the planet. So thank you for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. So now let's get started and let me welcome you again. Please join me, everyone, in welcoming Kirsten Block, president and owner of Buffalo Exchange, and her daughter, Rebecca Block, vice president of Buffalo Exchange, a mother-daughter team. I didn't really want to be too cliche and say a dynamic duo, but it really does fit. So welcome, and I have lots of questions. And it's almost 40 years. I mean, I cannot believe that. And I was talking about it because I did go to one of the first stores in Tucson. It's where you had your start. So Kirsten, why don't you tell us a little bit about how it got started? It's a great story.
Well, it just got started because I was truly poor and got everything used. And I just had that particular ability. A lot of people have it, to pick out the good stuff from the bad stuff. And I'd spent all my time going to swap meets, secondhand stores, and similar kinds of places. And once my daughters became big enough to go to school, I was unemployed and had a lot of time to go shopping.
And that's how it got started? Mm-hmm. Rebecca, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Going back to secondhand stores?
Yeah. I really hated thrift stores for a really long time. I didn't really start thrifting myself as like an adult till I was probably in my mid-20s. I mean, I'd shopped at Buffalo forever and worked there, but really disliked thrift stores.
Well, when I was growing up, there was not a... my mother was a big thrift store shopper, and we used to go to the ritzy neighborhood, as she called it, where there would be great things. It was Red Bank, New Jersey, where, yes, no kidding. And she would just say, she wasn't ashamed of it, but she'd say, you don't need to tell people where your clothes came from. So it wasn't trendy or chic or in. It was... a lot of used clothes came to the Murphy family from the thrift shops, and it wasn't like it is now. People brag about it and say, oh my gosh, I got this for $7.50. And like, oh, you're kidding. Where did you get it? Instead of saying, $750.
I didn't dislike them because they're thrift stores where you could find good stuff. It was just having to go to them so much when I was little.
Being dragged by your mother.
Yes.
They didn't look at the stuff in there.
No, and we were little kids, you know.
And you have to really be good at it. I'm not great at it. I have my personal shopper, Kathy Rankin. We'll name her on here. She goes into Buffalo and she'll go through the racks and say, try this on. It is fun. So what about the name? I know that people can look it up on the website, but it's a great story about how you came up with the name Buffalo Exchange.
Well, we came up with it because, of course, we didn't know what to call it. And then my husband said, well, it's going to be an exchange. So I thought, well, that's true. It's going to be an exchange. And so we came up with Buffalo because me being from Sweden, it sounded, you know, really all American and natural.
And the Old West.
And the Old West, all that.
So it was romantic almost.
I mean, yes, it really was.
Now, the exchange part. Maybe there are some of our listeners that really don't understand what it means, that it's an exchange. You just don't go in and get money for your clothes. That's one option. But do you want to talk about how that works?
People bring stuff in and we price it. We tell them exactly what we're going to sell it for. They get 50% in trade or 35, depends on the market a little bit, in cash. So they can have one or the other. Trade is really the best deal because you can absolutely exchange and get trade for other stuff in the store.
And it's sometimes, I have to say this out of the air, sometimes it's harsh, and we do talk about it. You have people that have an eye for fashion, and you have to be really careful what you bring in there because it's got to sell, right? I mean, it's like, and you have an eye for fashion and you want to be able to resell it to stay in business. So let's just really talk about the American dream. This information is on your website. I think it's inspirational to people to have you say, Kirsten, that you started and you were poor and you dragged your kids around. Just feel free to brag about it for a minute as to how you've grown in the most wonderful way. Inspire people because now you are in states all over the country. Your revenue last year is a big number. And I think it's great to shout that out because it gives people, if they're sitting there listening and they might have a dream, get out and be your dream. Get started.
Yeah, that's what I always tell people. Just do it. You know, ours was, of course, a virtually free business to get into. You didn't have to have any money. We paid $100 a month in rent. And it was just me working
the
store.
That's not happening anymore.
and we just did it as a lark, you know. I didn't have anything to do. I was still unemployed. My husband worked for the University of Arizona as a librarian. And after we'd been doing this for about 3 months, he was able to leave his job because we had very low demands. I mean, for money those days, we lived very cheaply. But he was able to quit his job and we started living off of the store.
After 3 months. That is the American dream on fast forward. Okay, that's really a good one. Let's talk a little bit about your demographics and what you've seen. I'd like to hear from both of you in terms of, do you try to have a target market? Is there a range? I asked you off air if you always carried things for men, because when I go there, I'm not looking for anything for my husband. I just notice what they have for women, but I know I'm looking for women things or my daughter things or my granddaughter things. So what about your demographic? Who is shopping at Buffalo Exchange?
Primarily, it's a young customer base. I would say some middle schoolers, a lot of high school, college. Those are probably the biggest, the heaviest demographics. And then from there, up to probably 35, 40. And then we have shoppers of all ages, and we actually have employees of all ages.
You do, and you have young thinkers. We might look older, but we really want to be trendy and wear things not to look like a teenager. What about men? What percentage of your demographic is men? And is that the same thing? Are they college students mostly? Are you seeing, how's that trending?
It's gone up quite a bit. We have a lot. We used to give maybe 25%, and now we give 30-35% of the store. It's not an exact number.
Right.
It depends on that market and what is actually the customer base there.
And I want to get this right. You do have a store in Sherman Oaks in California.
Yeah.
It's in the valley.
Yeah.
So I will tell you that in that store, there are lots of men shopping because I went there with my daughter and it's California and there were probably as many guys shopping as there were young, hip, thin, blonde people from
well, a lot from of the places. Valley. Yeah. A lot of places. We have like maybe 50% men shoppers. Mm-hmm. I mean, not very many, but there certainly can be that.
What about, it always interests me, and it's a really important thing to me, about the core values of your company, because you have been wildly successful, and as Kirsten likes to remind people, it did take time to get to the where you guys are today and to have the number of stores. But you have amazing core values, and if you don't have them memorized, I have them written down so I can go over them, because I don't ever want to put any of my guests on the spot. But just talk about your philosophies, both of you, as mother and daughter, in terms of not just you have employees that have been there for a really long time, you have employees of all ages. It's a place where people want to work and stay.
Yeah, not everybody, obviously.
Right.
But most people do, and we just started out in business, not knowing anything. And
you didn't see this coming.
One of the first, my husband was he had a master's degree in counseling psychology. So a lot of the values we took was like, how about to treat people, how to be fair to people, how to overcome the stigma of secondhand. And after a while, we came across these 5 points of power, which pretty much has determined, I would say, our major philosophy.
Yeah.
And I know what they are.
Well, good.
I know.
I can always list four, and then I'm like, what's the fifth?
Having a rewarding workplace.
Oh, this is
different.
This is different. Okay.
Well, no, read them.
Having a rewarding workplace, mm-hmm. acting with integrity, mm-hmm. being self-righting, and I'd like to talk about that with you both a little more, functioning in a socially responsible manner, and promoting fun and enjoyment. I love that when that's more of your purpose, maybe not your core values. It's part of your purpose mm-hmm. statement. So what about the self-righting? What is that? That's an interesting, taking care of your own behavior.
I think it's reacting to kind of using your common sense and looking at something and saying, is this the right thing to do or not? Or have we gone crazy, overboard? Do we have too many rules and regulations? And then kind of looking at ourselves and getting feedback from coworkers and then changing it if we need to.
It's really unbelievable.
Yeah. So flexibility is probably inherent in that. Yeah.
But how do you do that? It's jumping around a little bit, because I want to start first with, you started to grow and expand in Tucson and have multiple locations. In terms of having a purpose and keeping those values, that makes it harder when there's more of you and you can't be everywhere. So at what point did you decide to go out of state, and how did that come about? Because it's really been happening now, like New York City. Mm-hmm. That's a big jump.
Well, our first adventure was in the Bay Area. That was out of state. And we had a girl that worked with us. And we were very easy people in business. So she said, why don't you open a store in Berkeley?
Perfect and we thought place.
That would be a good place to have a store. So she went up there, and my husband and I went up there, and we found a place. It was not a very good location, not since we didn't know the area very well, but we opened it up. And then we opened up a store on Haight Street. And then we thought, well, now we've kind of come upon something much better.
That's really, and did you keep the first location?
We've moved that store many times.
Yeah, okay. It's in its third
it's in
location.
Its third location.
Yeah, it's on Telegraph now, which is the street in Berkeley.
To go to. Yeah. I haven't been there for a long time, but even way back when you did it, that was the place to go. Mm-hmm. Rebecca, what about you? Did you always know, and I don't know the history of, did you always want to be a part of the business? Did it get in your blood? Or is it, I mean, working as a mother-daughter team, even as a husband-wife team, there are mm-hmm. challenges. And so tell me, how did that, was there a moment you said, you know what, I want to be on this journey too?
I didn't have a choice when I was young. That was the job I could have. I wanted a job and I wanted to make money.
Right, right.
In college, grade school, I just went there after school. and learned, and I had to do whatever. If I put, you know, everyone at work knows the story. I sat in the back. I could watch reruns of Gilligan's Island, but I would have to put rubber bands on the edge of the hangar because those to keep sweaters from falling off the sweat, the hanger,
yes.
You had to have something. Nowadays, they have little foam strips.
Right, right.
And
but
then,
back then, you're being very, very penurious.
Yes.
Use rubber bands.
And
okay.
Then then I got big enough I could sort and straighten at the end of the day. And straightening is seriously an art at Buffalo Exchange. You have to really pay attention to what you're doing. You can't zone out. You have to put everything back where it belongs, button the buttons, zip the zippers, sizing, all of that. We want to make it so people can find stuff.
Lots of details.
And then in high school, I worked in the summers after school and stuff like that. And then in college, I worked, like in summertime, I would work full time. And that was really the first time I got to sense what the job was really like. And then one summer, I get sent off to Berkeley with a friend who was working in Buffalo Exchange, and we had to help the poor store in Berkeley all summer. That was our job. We got an apartment and we spent the summer in Berkeley.
Okay, so it's really been an excellent adventure. I can't wait to read your book that you're going to write someday. It'll be really fun.
We'll see.
Okay, yeah. That's really great. Okay, what about I want to talk about it, and I know I don't want to start in the middle of a break, but I think that not knowing retail at all, but how you price things, how long it takes for someone, like you said, someone is there at the counter, they know pretty much what's going to sell and what's not. How do you train them? And are there people that just have a knack for it? That's probably one of the most critical pieces of your business, agreed, is inventory and pricing. So how did that evolve?
Well, when we started, I just sort of priced things. You know,
right.
I think our most common price was, it was $355 or $750.
Okay.
That was kind of our range.
Right.
But then as we went on, we realized that, you know, we could price differently. And we started working. We still have we're still a very inexpensive range of pricing in our stores. And we also set the standards. So it's really hard, you know, like any store that's like our kinds of stores tend to have the same pricing as we do because they look to see what we're pricing it for.
And I have to, this is a random thing that just came into my head and it's not in the notes. But do you know, or do people come in and find things? There are finds at Buffalo mm-hmm. Exchange. I mean, there really are. And then go, not that you can do anything about this, but I wonder if people come in and find a pair of, you know, New Religion jeans and then go sell them on eBay. Do you have any idea? Not that it matters.
Oh, it happens. I'm sure it happens. We have, you know, we don't want to do that, and we don't really want to enable others. But on the other hand,
it's kind of creepy.
They
actually
are taking, well, if we price it too low is when that would happen.
Right, right, right.
But it's a huge amount of effort to do. They're dealing in ones and we're dealing in thousands every store every week.
In volume.
Yeah.
Yes. So how much volume do you have? Do you guys have a sense of how many items?
Pieces?
Yes.
I don't know. I think big stores probably move 4,000 to 8,000 pieces a week.
At least.
Yeah.
And is everybody in the store ultimately trained to do that job, or do you have people that are really good at pricing and have the eye and you try to keep them in that, and then other people that are front and gregarious and work the floor?
Usually they have to learn all the jobs.
Yeah.
We do have a little bit of job separation in bigger stores. There are people who just run cash registers, but it's not ideal because in order to buy well, you have to know what's selling. The only way you're going to know what's selling is if you work the register or you work at the dressing room. And at the dressing room, you're only seeing what they try on. So the full cycle is buying it, seeing them trying on, and then selling it.
And then did you always, because you don't just have clothes, you have gowns and you have, I know because I got my angel ball gown at your Speedway store. I did. That's why you're looking. Yeah, I did. I walked in one day. It was my daughter was in high school and I needed a gown for the angel ball. And I got my gown for $39.95 and it was gorgeous.
It was probably a very beautiful dress that.
It was gorgeous.
Yeah.
It was absolutely, it was a long dress and it was just beautiful. So that was a story that I told everybody. You know, isn't that great? Yeah. It's like, I've got a lot of memories. And then shoes
mm-hmm.
and purses.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything else? Some jewelry?
Jewelry.
Scarves, belts.
Accessories.
Yeah, accessories. That you need.
And did you always take those when you started, Kirsten?
Mm-hmm.
Always?
Yes. We always took that. We also used to take knickknacks, but we don't take knickknacks much anymore.
Knick-knacks. I don't see any knickknacks.
No.
So I got the two-minute warning, and I'd like to just recap in case anybody just checked in. We are having a fun, informative interview about a true, wonderful American success story that started with secondhand shopping. I love it because the owner, Kirsten Block, was unemployed, president and owner of Buffalo Exchange, and her daughter, Rebecca Block, vice president of Buffalo Exchange. They are in how many states?
17.
17. How many stores? I did copy that down somewhere.
46
stores?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. So yeah, we'll talk a lot about that and the growth when we come back. Everybody, you're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. I just want to do a little shout out about following us on all of the social media platforms, which I'll talk about with these two gurus when we come back. Mrs. Green's World, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram. And let's give a shout out about your website, because it's a really fun website. Is that the font? Everything on the website says fun.
Yeah.
So you can find anything you want. Listeners can find it out. So it's www.buffaloexchange.com.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll be doing that. How much time do we have, Mr. Engineer? 30 seconds. Okay. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about, I'd like to talk about social media, and I'd like to talk about what do you do with the clothes that you don't sell and how do you track that? I think that's a good thing. And also the practice of giving tokens and how that whole system's worked, because that was an early adopter's thought. Okay. Everybody stay right here with us. We'll be right back. Mrs. Green's World Radio Network.
In the mid-Tucson summer, you would expect it to be over 100 degrees. But deep beneath the University of Arizona's compost heap, temperatures can hit 160. Started by the Compost Cats student group, the U of A Compost Project is collecting tons of waste from around campus and keeping it out of landfills. Gathering garbage and converting it into a useful product for the community? Now that's a hot idea indeed. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
It's got advanced technology. It's got major breakthroughs in technology everywhere you look. It's the 2013 Honda Accord. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I want to share with you that after nearly 40 years of heritage, this is the most stunning Accord ever. The highly respected automotive magazine raves that the 2013 Honda Accord offers unparalleled talent of goodness. Please visit Chapman Honda at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson to check it out and see for yourself.
You can always find things around the house to give to Goodwill. But I have a bigger reason to give. A while back, I lost my job and I couldn't even support my family. A lot of people don't know Goodwill can help you find a job. But that's what they did for me. I've had this job for 7 years and I love going to work. You know how they say Goodwill changes lives? Well, it's true. Goodwill needs your donations now more than ever. Please donate today.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, because we really love thinking here in Mrs. Green's World. So we're giving you a lot to think about today. Our in-studio guests, I am happy to say, are Kirsten Block and Rebecca Block, and they run the big operation known as Buffalo Exchange, your corporate giants now. Little did you know from the one little store.
I think we're still pretty small.
I think you're still, for Tucson, you know, it's the big fish here. And it's a wonderful story. I don't want to diminish it in any way. So I want to talk a little bit about social media, because I think people want to know that it's certainly from when you started, there was no such thing as Facebook, Twitter, let alone Instagram. And now there's things like, I don't even want to hear any more things that there are in social media. Is that something that you've really had to pay attention to? Or is it something where your stores show up, it spreads by word of mouth? What kind of value do you put on, you know, tweeting and getting people in for those reasons?
A lot.
I love that answer. Yeah. I mean, Twitter, that's where the young people are, when you said who your demographic is.
Yeah, we have to.
So do you tweet specials or come in and see us or?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
They do it all.
We do a lot. And we do it market-based. Social media is pretty sophisticated now, so you can target the people by where they are. So you don't tweet to a New Yorker about something happening in Texas. They don't want that. So, yeah.
And is that, I'm just going to ask, is that like for, through hashtagging or is it a complicated social media?
You I have don't know to have how they thing. Know how, what market people are from.
Right.
Because I,
but they
yeah,
know.
At the back end. They know. One of the biggest things for us is Instagram. That's a growing market that really, like last year, maybe January, February, our new merchandise department was like, you know, there's Instagram. And I said, I haven't heard about that. And, you know, they said, well, we would like to, you know, put up post things. And yeah, it's just exponential growth
in
of
Instagram,
social media, of all social
of
media.
Of all social media. Yeah. So do you see, do you have, I mean, Instagram to me, I love it because
yes,
it's visual.
Very
and it's
visual.
A short post
exactly.
And I love it. And my daughters, my one daughter in particular is constantly coaching me about Mrs. Green's World because I don't have a social media company, but we're all learning how to do it right. And
yeah.
Instagram is it. It's just people are so visual and it's perfect. Instagram.
Yes.
They want one instant
yep.
to make it happen. What about what happens and what have you seen in these years that you've been running the company about economic trends? When there's a downturn, is it good for business? Or do you have a core group of people that are shopping no matter what? How does it work when you see lots of people are, you know, unemployed or laid off? Does it matter?
We think we do better in poor economic times. People are selling a lot of really nice things because they need money. In good economic times, there's always people going to shop with us and are always looking for those bargains and such things, but not always. We don't always have as huge an influx of things as we do when people are needing money.
And, you know, to me, one of the things that I've been writing about is there's a whole thing about, for me, fair trade and sourcing and making sure that you didn't buy a piece of clothing that was made in Bangladesh in a factory that mm-hmm. burned down. I mean, it's very real, and I think lots more people are caring about it.
They do.
So if you go to Buffalo Exchange, you don't have to worry. It doesn't matter where it was sourced because it wasn't my
fault.
You're
not supporting.
That's how I feel.
You're not supporting that cycle.
Right.
You're really supporting something entirely different.
It is.
Reusing and repurposing items.
And I think it really matters. I mean, I think it's a badge of honor these days mm-hmm. because I don't want a dress that's made in China.
Oh,
I don't.
And there was, I forget who he was, the Queen's speech or the King's speech. Sorry, I didn't see that movie. But at the awards dinner, his wife wore a
Colin
repurposed
Firth.
Dress.
She
that
did.
Was amazing. Like completely gorgeous, white. Ugh.
She's a greenie.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
She's a greenie. If you ever meet her, I'm going to give you my card and
okay.
slip it to her
when
so
I
can get her as
yeah.
a guest because I'd love to have her as a guest. I probably could get her as a guest because people really like to be on the radio. And
yeah.
I think she's a really good trendsetter and example mm-hmm. for that. And it was made out of something really weird, too. It was like...
It was a combination of stuff.
Oh, yeah, and including plastic. I mean, there was some... Yeah, it was great. I read the whole thing when it happened. That was about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I did see the King's speech. It was a great movie. By you know, my standards, it was a fabulous movie.
Yeah,
okay.
I need to see it.
Yeah, I saw it and it was a good movie.
It was a good movie. Now what about you did decide, and I don't know at what point you decided there is some new merchandise in the stores.
Mm-hmm.
How did that decision come about and how is that working? It's kind of nice if you're looking for something and it's not in your size. I mean, that's what I see.
We always have had it, actually.
We always had
yeah.
it ever since we started. We would go, we would drive our car to LA and go to the gift shows and the markets there and the spice stuff. Because it kind of added a more contemporary, fashionable feel to the stores, which sometimes you lack a little bit in used clothing.
When you decided to, and I don't know, the place that I noticed it the most is the downtown store. And for people that are listening from around the country, Tucson has been in the longest downtown revitalization period of any city, maybe in the United States. Agreed?
Yes.
I'm glad you guys laughed. It's like, okay, there are lots of restaurants opening. It is seen.
It is getting nice.
So how about your decision? I mean, that was a big decision. I just heard somebody announce the other day at a big group that there's finally retail downtown. Buffalo Exchange opened. So has anybody followed suit? Are you, you're the only retail store that I can see down there.
There is a couple of little boutiques, and there is a... Is it still called Hydra Leather?
Hydra's been down there the longest.
They've been there a long time. And they are kind of changing now to having more... like regular men's and women's clothing. From
where are they? Across street?
From the bus station.
From the bus station, yes.
Corner from us, yeah.
Okay.
West of the bus station.
I know. So, you know, there are a few, but very, so far it's bars and restaurants, mostly.
Bars and restaurants, but more people are moving downtown. I mean, it's shocking to me that people are selling their houses on the east side and giving up lots of big land.
That was me. It was an old, beautiful mud adobe, but 12 miles one way through city traffic was really, really killing me. 18 years I did it. And we bought a house in the middle of town.
Now you're a downtowner.
I mean, we're close.
Closer.
We're not downtown, but it is a community that really, a lot of people here in Tucson are really interested in making the center of town something great.
So I want to ask you, there's a lot of, I am so not familiar with the back end of merchandising, which is critical, of retail. What do you do with clothes that don't sell? Because there have to be things that sit there. And what do you do, and is there a whole system through, I'm sure you have scanners and decide how long things sit and how you move them. And I wanted to ask, do you move to other stores? So what do you do with clothes that, you know, what's the shelf life? And then what do you do with clothes that are not moving?
We force turnover. So we have incredibly fast turnover. So we force turnover about at least every 30 days. Because if it doesn't sell at full price, then we put it to half price. And then if it doesn't sell at half price, then nowadays we send it to our outlet store in Nogales, Arizona, which has proven to be a very popular place. We sell things, everything there for under $7.
That's wonderful, though.
And then we give stuff away as well.
And I'm thinking it's not going in the landfill because we don't have much room in a landfill. So if you're doing that, it's the ultimate recycle. It has a long, long, long life cycle then.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's really great. When you say force sell, what does that mean? That's retail
turnover? Turnover.
Okay.
Yeah, because we determine how long it's going to sit in the store at full price, and then it gets that extra 30 days at half price, and then it's gone. So it doesn't sit around, it doesn't have another markdown after that. It just, we know when it came in, and then monthly these cycles happen based on the date in which it came in.
Now, in the years that you've been doing it, which for you, Kirsten, is from the beginning, and for you, almost from the beginning,
since
when your mom...
Full-time, I've worked since 1990.
Holy smokes. So that's really a long time. What have you seen? Like, I'm wondering, have you seen, like, let's just say Christian Louboutin shoes? Do you see every brand come in? There were great brands in the California store. I mean, a lot more than you see in Tucson,
we
think.
We should go to New York.
New York is stupendous.
Oh, where's the store in New York?
Oh.
Because I'm going in September.
I guess they call it Upper Chelsea. There's one on 26th between 7th and 8th. And then...
And that just sounds so good, Upper Chelsea.
And it just doubled in size. So it's like, I don't know, it's not...
It's almost 7,000
feet. Yeah, almost.
I'm going in September.
It's fun to shop.
Yeah.
And if you say to the employees... You know, I was looking for this. My daughter always has a list. And she knows the New York stores. They'll be like, okay. And they run out and start hunting and seeing what they have. You know, if they're not tied up, you can always ask.
7,000 square feet. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's really great. I'm going to have, I will Instagram you a picture for when I go there in September from a store. I did
well,
a picture.
There's going to be another, there's a fifth New York store opening in late August, so.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Look, at, and if we had visual, you can see faces lighting up. That's pretty exciting to New
it
York City.
It was truly a revelation for us when we opened up in New York.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what made you decide? And we have to talk about Rachel Ray, because I know that you, I love that you got interviewed, that Rachel Ray story. That
and
was pretty
that
good.
And that is at the store in
that's
Chelsea.
That's the store that just got expanded, yeah. Mm-hmm. New York?
How did New
York
call
you?
We
were in Philadelphia, and we were in a pokey area, and then we moved the store, and it started doing really well. And that was our first East Coast store. And then we thought, you know, we really should start looking in New York.
For those East Coast shoppers.
Was it 2007? The economy was definitely, like, we knew we could get better rents. And that it was a great opportunity. And if you have to be opportunistic. And so we thought, well, let's go see.
That's unbelievable. So it's leasing. And I didn't know that you had 5 stores in New York City. I thought I did a lot of homework. And it really didn't have any idea.
There are 2 in Brooklyn and 1 in Astoria.
2 in Brooklyn, 1 in Astoria, and 2 in Manhattan.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, it really is. Yeah. Just okay, so let's go to... let me see, new merchandise. Is there anything that you want to talk about in terms of working as a mother-daughter team? Is that, I mean, it's something that I think when you're family, there are challenges, but there are also great things to be learned because you're in this together and there's, what kind of things you'd like to share with people about understanding and any deep thoughts to give our listeners for family-owned businesses? Sometimes they're rough.
Well, Rebecca started, my husband and I started the business.
Right, right.
And then Rebecca came in, and first she was kind of like thinking, oh, I don't really think maybe this is not for my life. Then we just sort of like working, we started working more. And I think for you it was sometimes hard to be taken seriously because here's my husband and I running the business.
Right, and you're the boss's daughter.
We're the bosses.
Yeah,
and so
being
on.
The child of the people who own it, you have no idea if people are dealing with you straight or just smoke and mirrors or what, because you'll never know. And probably one of actually, my parents were always very honest with me about how I was doing. But it's harder dealing with people and also recognizing that you're never going to have friends, particularly in this work environment. That would be foolish.
Right, that you have to get your friends outside of the work environment.
Yeah, and I had already, you know, no one burned me or anything. It was more just recognition and really, you know, Kirsten always says you have to be like a duck and let the water roll off. Let that go.
Sometimes easier said than done.
But it's so true.
Right. Okay. I want to know this. And we went back to a little bit, but I don't think I really got the answer. How do you decide how to price an item? It's things I always wanted to know. Yeah, you're looking, but how do you decide that this is $15, but this is $7? That's huge.
Well, original retail value is actually really important. So the first thing we do, we look at it and we say, is it cute? Is it something we could sell again in the store? And if it is, you know, we look at it, make sure the condition is good. And then we try to recognize where it came from or what kind of a, you know, level tier you could say of a store it originated from. And you can look at items and look at them and determine the quality of the garment based on how they're sewn. If you don't recognize where it's from, and then you price.
Do you ever take things, and I don't know if you do this or not, do you do any repairs on items and then put them out?
It's so, I used nothing. To do that, but that's been a long time.
But it's not. It's really, that's a big business too. That's a big job if you start to do that. Does anybody ever get mad when you don't take their
it's
stuff?
It's very personal. They, you know, 80% of what we see, we don't take. And
say that again, 80%. So we should never feel less than if our... I mean,
and
I'm
it's
so
very,
out of that
people
ballgame.
Are so emotionally attached. An emotion went into purchasing your item. So if it gets turned down, you're emotionally rejected. It's hard.
That's really...
Well, we try to train our employees to be, you know, aware...
Be nice.
And be really nice.
Yeah.
And the best experience we can have is when somebody comes in and we can't take anything they had, but they say, well, thank you for looking at my stuff. You made this really fun.
And I will tell you this, because my daughter shopped there. They knew what to take in. A lot of times it's because they got things there. Mm-hmm. So they knew, and they would do it with the seasons. Mm-hmm. So we'd have our trips to Buffalo Exchange, which were somewhat painful for me at times because it isn't my demographic. I think that there are stores though, like your Speedway store, there are more things for my age. I mean, I'm just going to say it than the one at the university.
Yes.
It's like,
it's
what
true.
Part of my body would I fit that on? Not my leg,
yeah.
Because it's really mostly tiny little stuff. Not shoes, though. I mean,
no.
It's a great place to go for shoes.
Oh, shoes are great. Yes.
Yeah, you have to do that. Now, what about the New York stores? Is it the same demographic, or is it really?
I think it's a wider demographic mm-hmm. in New York. We get a lot more older people shopping there and bringing stuff in. You know, we did a whole little spread about. We have a zine we put out, and we did a whole spread about. This gentleman who is 70 years old and he loves designer clothing and he comes and buys stuff all the time.
Oh, anytime you're in New 70? York, you'll probably see him in a store.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to try. Boris?
He's great.
Boris. It's Boris.
I love it. And speaking of young, I was at a meeting today and I said to this one kid, I said, oh, he's young. He's 40, you know, under 40. And he looked at me like he goes, yeah, we all have different definitions of the word young. So anyway, okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're having a wonderful interview. It's more like a conversation with Kirsten and Rebecca Block from Buffalo Exchange. Please stay here with me. When we come back, we'll talk about the token system, your charitable giving, and what's next for Buffalo Exchange. Please stay here with me.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Castle Rock Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Hi, I'm Abbott Taylor. With over 35 years creating jewelry in Tucson, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Please come in and see some of the thousands of designs we have created, or come in and have us design something original just for you. Whether you're looking for a simple and stylish graduation gift, your engagement ring, or a breathtaking jewelry piece to celebrate an important birthday or anniversary, you can't beat our competitive diamond pricing. With 100% trade-up guaranteed, set in an Abbott Taylor jewelry design, always using earth-friendly recycled gold. Abbott Taylor Jewelers, exquisite jewelry designs and exceptional diamond deals created right here in Tucson for over 35 years. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green. The 2013 VW Jetta TDI is the sedan people love to love. It comes with a zippy turbocharged diesel engine that's 90% cleaner burning than previous diesel engines, and it goes farther on a tank of gas than a Toyota Prius. Chapman Volkswagen has a great selection of Jetta TDIs, so choose yours today at ChapmanTucson.com or in person at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson.
Do you dare to share? In 2009, the University of Arizona started its car sharing program. Today, students, faculty, and staff have access to a shared fleet of cars that includes 7 hybrids and even the zero emissions Nissan Leaf. Not only does car sharing give the campus community wheels, but it takes all those extra cars off the road too. Now that greens things up, doesn't it? The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
You can save hundreds on home improvement by checking out Habitat for Humanity's Habastore. The Habastore sells new and gently used home improvement items for pennies on the dollar. You can find cabinets, doors, windows, light fixtures, furniture, and much more. Plus, our inventory is constantly changing. You'll be saving money, and all the profits go to Habitat for Humanity Tucson, helping to build a better community. The Habit Store is located at 935 West Grant Road. You can reach us at 520-889-7200 or habitattucson.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And I always wonder when I come back from these breaks if you can all tell that I am smiling, because the guests are great and the show is flying by. Today, I am having the pleasure of interviewing a successful mother-daughter team running a successful multi-million dollar company. It's got to feel good to say that, to have me say it. Kirsten Block and Rebecca Block, who are the president and vice president of Buffalo Exchange in 17 states. I don't know. I'm going to start saying to people there's 600 stores, even though there's I'll be growing this store. My nose will be growing. It's like, it's such a great story, and it's so great to have you both here. Okay, what were we going to talk when I came back? I want to know about how the Rachel Ray opportunity came about, and share with our listeners what that was, because it's really very, you like, you want Rachel Ray to call you. I want her to call Mrs. Green,
yeah,
too.
Kirsten knows the most, I think.
Well, we they just came, their studio is actually right up the street from us.
In New York.
In New York, so on 26th Street. So people who work there shop at Buffalo Exchange. And so they were having a makeover. They do makeovers all the time.
Yeah.
And so they decided to do a makeover at Buffalo Exchange. And they dressed this woman, and she looked great. And I think they spent $40 or $60 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it was a tremendous opportunity for us.
And I can't help but say, what a tremendous message to spend. What an absolutely genuinely great message to send is that people on TV, on a very successful show, everybody, if you don't know who Rachel Ray is, that's really kind of sad, even if you don't watch the show, and to send the message about buying vintage or secondhand or used clothing, whatever word people are comfortable with. I mean, I thought it was great when I saw that video on your website.
Yeah.
It's like, this is cool. Did it have, could you trace increase in revenue and exposure, or did people already know about it?
I think that store already has an expanding customer base. So that only helped it to have more. We had a very, very large influx of phone calls, and just not to that store, because it went nationwide. A lot of our stores received calls,
yeah,
about, you know, what we do and so on.
Twitter gone wild. I love it. It's like, let's hashtag the heck out of this. It's like when we had Southwest Airlines on, it was our most successful show to date.
Wonderful.
Because we had it about their green marketing efforts. Mm-hmm. And all we ever ask is that they retweet us, which now I'm asking you on air, but I would ask you
will.
If you post.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, but it's like, it's how it spreads the really good message, and it becomes a great partnership. Okay, let's go back to the very beginning. I'm pretty good at staying on track. I have good notes. When you started, I remember this. I came from back east, and I went in the store, and they said, do you want a bag or a token? And I didn't know what they were talking about. So explain that system, and how did that come about? So you could have a plastic bag, it was plastic, or a token.
Yeah, what happened was that we went to, my husband and I went to, I think we went to Santa Cruz, and he was working. He was like a volunteer for the food co-op here. So we would go and look at food co-ops everywhere we went. And that was one of the things this particular food co-op in Santa Cruz offered, was like, would you like to have a token or a bag? So we thought this was a really good idea, and we asked them if they had any problems with us adopting this, and they said, oh, no, the more the merrier. So that's how we started doing it. You know, we just started doing that and then picking out a charity that the tokens
would
go
to. And the token is, it's actually a POG, which is
cool.
Those, yeah, the,
right, the POGs.
Kids collected those for a while. It's the top of a juice from, I guess, from Hawaii or something. But it's just a round. We make them look like buffalo nickels. And then they get to put it into one of the 5-cent value of the token into one of three charities, and then we count. As the boxes fill up, we just keep a tally going, and each store gets to collect for three charities that they have chosen. So when
each store picks
three.
Okay.
So they're local. They typically will do a charity related to kids, a charity related to animals, and typically an environmental one. That would be the most likely. And and then accounting gets the tallies and cuts the checks. And so they're cutting checks to 3 times 48 stores. So it's a lot.
What a wonderful, you talk about the circle of life, good deal, because I am public enemy number one to me is plastic bags. Oh. And then right there with plastic bottles. Yeah. But plastic bags to me are much worse because of the way they break down.
Especially in the desert. We see them everywhere. It's horrible.
I have made the joke on the air and to other people, it is really not our state flower because they're blowing everywhere.
When
it's
I walk
so gross.
My dogs, I just run up to the little stretch where there's cactus and I'm like, I'm sure I'll find a plastic bag over here.
You don't need them. I know somebody wrote to me about that today. Do people actually pick plastic bags?
Oh.
Do they, or do
they
most
did,
people?
But Kirsten should tell you what's happened now.
What
do
has
you know?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, now we don't. We have no bags.
I remember you told me that. You did.
And we have especially no plastic bags. So, and we've done this nationwide. Which, because it started out in California, you know, they banned the one-time use bag.
Right.
So that's the kind we were using. So we just stopped using those. And it was very well received on the West Coast.
Very.
And, you know, California's Oregon, Washington, Arizona. But then we started bringing this philosophy back east. And we had an amazing, we were just floored by the response we got.
They balked?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They couldn't have a bag.
They're offended. They were like, what do you, like people will say, well, what do you mean you don't have a bag? They get really confused. And we say, well, we can look for a bag for you in the store that someone might have left us, you know, they bring clothing. Or we have a $2 reusable tote bag that you can buy.
That's made from recycled soda bottles.
Right.
Yay.
And then if they really, really, really are so upset and still so confused, one time we'll give them the $2 tote bag. But honestly, it's like being at Trader Joe's. Don't you feel terrible when you actually forget your bags in the car?
Yes.
And you don't, you know.
We go out to the car and get them now.
And so we're trying so hard to just instill that in people, but the East Coast is just not.
They're getting better though. We're having much fewer complaints now.
Those darn Easterners. Yeah. I'm kidding you. I'm from New Jersey, so it's like, what the heck is up with that?
I think they take public transportation, and I think this is part of the problem. But you know, a lot of places nowadays don't give bags, so it's a good thing to carry.
I have to figure out how to put that on Twitter. I'm only kidding. It's like, but that's really, I carry a reusable bag in my purse.
Yeah.
I never leave home without it. It's a tiny little, it was a Mrs. Green bag.
Yeah.
But I have another one, those little Chico bags is what I started with.
I loved it. I traveled recently with a gal that you guys might know, and she was so great. She shopped. We went to Buffalo every day. We were out and she always whipped out her bag from her purse. It was wonderful.
It's great. Was it a Mrs. Green bag? Tell me it was.
No.
It was
I
just
don't
a little.
Know.
It could have been.
It could
you have to
been.
Know. You never know. Because that makes me happy. It's really, really great to do that. Okay. We have, you know, not a lot of minutes left. So the tokens, the Rachel Ray Show. Can you tell us about, it's going to be your 40th anniversary. So what kind of plans do you have for that? That's big. That's like humongous and wonderful. So what are you going to do to start? It's 2014. You're going to blink and it's coming.
We're worried. No, we have it all. In 2004, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spencer and Kirsten had a small casita trailer that they decorated. And they drove it around the country to every single store to celebrate the 30-year anniversary.
You're kidding.
Oh, we lived in it too.
So what are you going to do for 40?
Well, it's
you want to reveal. Is it a little early to ask?
No.
Oh, the planning is well underway.
Mm-hmm. An Airstream. Can we say Airstream?
Airstream. It's my show. Anything you want.
So we have an Airstream that is from the late 60s that we've gutted. And it's getting redone as a little traveling boutique. And it will be going to every single store starting in March.
So who gets
March.
To be on that rodeo parade? Oh, do you know? It'll be different people?
Yeah, we just got
that's awesome.
A questioned and then assigned. So we have coordinators that are people on this committee that are working on this. And it's going to be fun and lots of goodies and lots of great clothing. The stores are going to save up and sell it on that day.
That is
store.
Amazing. Oh, my gosh. And you'll Instagram the heck out of it. Oh
yeah, we're going to have a, you know, it's a tour.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. It's going to be a year long. I mean, that's
no,
probably how long.
No, it's only going to last. Our anniversary is actually in January, but the tour will start in March and end by the end of May. So about March, April, May, less than 3 months.
Okay. What about... what's next? I'd love to know if there are, is it just keeping on the expansion? I'd really like to know a little bit about how do you decide where the next Buffalo Exchange is going to be? You don't just open.
No, we don't. We do a lot of market research before we open. And currently, there are a couple of places we'd really like to open stores. And we think our next store will probably be in Baltimore. And then we really want to have a store in Nashville.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, that'll be a different... Okay, I understand that. Lots of cowboy boots. Uh-huh. One could only hope. I mean, that sounds like a lot of fun.
So those are for the near future. That's kind of our goal for next year, maybe.
Florida, there's a lot of, I think it has a more diverse lifestyle, and those really are areas that we cater to them. It's a really good reciprocal relationship. So there's parts of Florida we definitely want to look
at. So you're not going to be resting on your laurels and having the stores that are there. It's too exciting for the new frontiers.
Yeah.
What about the, when you're in Tucson, I've been involved in wonderful charities my whole life since I've been here. And on the charitable side of giving, we go to the people, the businesses that are locally owned, the national companies. Other than the token system, I know that you give generously. How do you decide? And do you keep the giving? I'm sure you're asked every store you're in, they come in and say, can you donation? Can you do a fundraiser? Can you give me gift certificates for this? Is there a process that you have for that to manage it? Because I'm sure you're really... hit up a lot.
Well, we have guidelines. So, like, our first guideline is that it's ecological.
Yes.
That's really the most
Green
important
loves that.
Thing.
Okay, so it has to be
us.
An eco-friendly.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
We also do give to, we're from Tucson, so we also have particular charities that that we're involved with. Typically, do with. Revitalization or, maybe animals. Our regular Earth Day sale usually mm-hmm. benefits an animal charity.
Right.
So that's kind of a big thing.
We have to take care of the four-leggeds too.
Yes.
And usually focused on an environmental issue with animals.
Yeah.
That's
it's wonderful. I just got an email today, or it was a thing on Facebook about someone that got a new puppy mm-hmm. and she's eco-friendly. And she said, Mrs. Green, I've never used so many plastic bags and paper towels. Can you help me? And I actually can help her because there are biodegradable, dog poop bags and they're not very expensive. And I mean, to me, that's the way to go. Because people say, well, I just get the plastic bags for my dog. And I'm like, come on, mm-hmm. either bury it or get an eco-friendly. We can't blame the dogs. Okay, so we have 1 minute left. I just want to thank you both for taking the time. I want to do a little bit of promo for our show next week. Another great show coming up, David Orr, who is the senior advisor to the president of Oberlin College. He has a wonderful program that he's going to share with us. I heard him when I was at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. He is also a Paul Sears Distinguished Professor of Environmental Studies and Politics, and you will love this show. Thank you so much, everybody, for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. Make it a great green week. My call to action for this week is shop the secondhand stores. Go and find your Buffalo Exchange because you're doing lots of great things for the environment. And thank you for being a part of my world. Thank you guys for being on.
Thank Thank you.